Tuesday, July 23rd. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, while U.S. intelligence committees approve arming Syrian rebels, a massive Al-Qaeda prison break at Abu Ghraib, and even more fluoride in your food than in your tap water? All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight, Russia orders snap drill of missile forces. This is out of Infowars.com. Just days after it concluded the biggest military exercise since the Cold War, Russia has ordered its missile forces to conduct a snap drill in order to ascertain the readiness of putting intercontinental ballistic missiles on high alert within a short time frame. So while Barack Obama was concerning himself with a court case out of Florida, the Russian bear roars once again. The drills, which will run until Saturday, involve the redeployment of missile units, which include those tipped with nuclear-capable Topol SS-25 Sickle ICBMs and Voyevoda SS-18 Satan ballistic missile systems. Quote, the goal of this snap check is to assess the ability of missile units to go on high alert in required time and to evaluate their readiness to perform the designated tasks, said Colonel Igor Yegorov, a spokesman for the Defense Ministry in Russia. So as we reported last week, of course, Russia just staged the largest military exercises since the Soviet era in the aftermath of the Israeli attack on Russian-made weapons in Syria, which was announced last week, occurred, of course, early in July. And the exercise, the biggest exercise since the Cold War, according to Konstantin Sivkov, was aimed at U.S. and Japanese forces. So the question is, now we've got another snap drill which Putin has ordered for the missile systems to be ready, is Russia gearing up for a major conflict? Well, they're increasing their military expenditure by 60% by 2015, while the U.S. is reducing its military expenditure 15%. Part of that expenditure, of course, is paying for these new Yars M ICBMs that can penetrate U.S. missile defense systems. Simultaneously, we have the U.S. aiming its European-based missile systems at Russia while claiming that they're to counter Iran. And back in May, the Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev called on the nation's defense industry to provide state-of-the-art weapons superior to their Western analogs. So he's basically saying, we want our missiles to be bigger, better, go further than anything that the US is developing. So while the economic downturn has reduced military outlay in places like America and Europe, both China and Russia continue to build. And the US, of course, has exploited the North Korean provocation to build up its presence in the Pacific, which again is aimed at Russia and China. What we know for sure is that while the US continues to be overstretched in the Middle East as a result of its attempts to occupy that region, Russia is getting militarily prepared to an extent that we've not seen for decades. Staying with geopolitical news, US intel committees approve arming Syrian rebels. Top general warns of costs. This is out of Russia Today. The House and Senate Intelligence Committees have given a green light to arm Syrian rebels as their concerns were alleviated, but a top US general warned that high costs of military options could reach into the billions. This, of course, is Martin Dempsey, the chief of the US Joint Chiefs of Staff, the highest ranking military advisor, basically warning that it's going to cost between $500 million and $1 billion a month to maintain a no-fly zone, which of course is a euphemism for a total bombardment on Syria, and may even be ineffective because the Syrian army relies on artillery, not air support, to fight the insurrection. So while US cities like Detroit are going bankrupt, the Obama administration is pushing for another multi-billion dollar military bombardment on Syria. In the meantime, the report states, U.S. President Obama will continue with the plan to arm Syrian rebels after several congressional concerns were alleviated. And it looks like Dempsey, with this article, is actually trying to stop this madness, labeling the move for what it would be, which is not a kinetic action like we saw in Libya, but an overt act of war. And, of course, John Bomb 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 Iran McCain is threatening to derail Dempsey's position of, as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff as a blackmail to get him to push for this no-fly zone military bombardment. But at the moment, he's warning against it because Syria is not Libya. You know, Libya had a paltry army of 15,000 soldiers and virtually no air force. Syria, on the other hand, has one of the most sophisticated air missile defense systems in the world, stronger even than Iran, according to most analysts. And they've got these Russian-made surface-to-air missiles, of course. So we know that any kind of no-fly zone bombardment of Syria will be met with a fierce response and inevitable loss of life on all sides. But, you know, the excuse is we need to stop the weapons of mass destruction. Well, you know, where have we heard that before? Do they mean the chemical weapons that were admittedly launched, used by the Obama-backed rebels, as the UN report stated, the same rebels who slaughter and ransack entire Christian villages, as we're going to see in the next article? Of course, the only reason they're arming the rebels now that they're pushing through with it is because the Syrian army is scoring key military victories across the country. They've already been receiving the weapons from Gulf countries with the aid of the CIA, these Al-Qaeda rebels. Now, because they seem to be losing militarily, McCain and others are continuing to push for this military bombardment by the ludicrously labeled no-fly zone, now being given the green light by US and House intelligence committees. Moving on, photos. Obama-backed Syrian rebels ransack Christian village. Images obtained exclusively by InfoWars show the aftermath of an alleged massacre of a Christian village in Syria, during which men, women, and children were slaughtered and churches were desecrated by Obama-backed FSA rebels. And you can see these photos up on the screen now. Basically, we had a report back in May that the FSA rebels went into this village near Homs, massacred most of the village. Now we've got the actual photos of it. And as I point out in this article, it was the Sunni Muslim Syrian army that actually stopped this massacre as it was unfolding, came to the aid of the Christians in the village who were slaughtered or being slaughtered by the rebels. So again, it isn't an issue of Islam versus Christianity. It's the radical jihad terrorists that are being backed by the White House. And in this instance, the Syrian army, which is mainly Sunni Muslim, managed to stop some of the tragedy. But as you see from the photos, churches desecrated. There's an image of a charred, what looks like an infant, reports of a massacre there, and we obtain those photos, disturbing as they are, which you can see on Infowars.com. Moving on, total failure. Foreign intelligence and spy agencies miss massive Al-Qaeda prison break. This is out of SHTF plan Mac Slavo. They spent hundreds of billions of dollars to monitor the activities of every single American by turning their listening networks on purported domestic terrorists operating in the United States. They know that your underwear size. They know where you drove your car today. They know what you put up on Facebook, texted to your wife and emailed to your friends. And they've done it all in the supposed interest of national security. But they don't catch a planned operation to break into Abu Ghraib via suicide bombers to free 500 Al-Qaeda terrorists. So, you know, while the NSA is reading your email, they're tapping your phone calls, storing your text messages, all in the name of stopping the terrorists, they know nothing about a huge prison break in Iraq, which has just freed 500 Al-Qaeda terrorists, who I'm sure will be very useful with the Obama administration's attempt to topple Bashar al-Assad in Syria using those very same Al-Qaeda-backed terrorists that they control. Now, 500 more added to the equation, but you've got to have your kids groped by the TSA to fight the terrorists. Health news now out of naturalnews.com. Some non-organic foods contain upwards of 180 times the fluoride level of tap water, says expert. According to fluoride expert Jeff Green, many non-organic foods contain extremely high levels of fluoride because of the pesticide chemicals sprayed on them. And in some cases, non-organic produce contains up to 180 times the amount of fluoride found in tap water. So we cover this in the interview that's coming up, but there's a new study today which says that 100 years ago, they added iodine to the salt and it resulted in a 15-point increase in IQ. Yet there's another study by European researchers which found that over the last 100 years in America, IQ has dropped by 15 points. So we've got a differential of some 30 IQ points that have dropped if you account for the iodine, We've got Harvard and other scientific studies directly linking fluoride consumption with reduced IQ. And now, of course, we've got confirmation, as we already knew, that this article recaps that fluoride is not only in the tap water, it's also in a plethora of other foods. So again, you know, this is a choice we can all make. This is a battle that we can win. Costs a little bit more money to go organic to avoid all these foods with the with this toxin, the pesticide, of course, all the other toxins that are in the food, but it's worth it. You know, the health benefits are enormous. You're not going to get ill as easily, which you're going to pay for anyway. And of course, the mental effects, the lowering of IQ, best to avoid that probably with everything else we're being bombarded with. So again, important to focus on the fact that fluoride is also in foodstuffs to the level of 180 times the amount it is in tap water. Final story today. Royal baby will suck our blood in mid-21st century, says Russian lawmaker. The royal baby boy born to Kate Middleton and Prince William, which, by the way, every single media network has got rolling 24-hour coverage. They were literally on it for 2 hours on Fox News outside the hospital waiting for them to show the baby. I noticed the only network that didn't even report on it was Russia Today, which, you know, we've had our scrapes with Russia Today, but they're probably the only mainstream media network that's seeing an appreciable acceleration in viewing figures, because at least they don't focus on bread and circuses and crap like the royal baby 24-hour rolling, fawning North Korean-style worship of the royal family, which is now occurring once again in Britain after it occurred in 2011, 2012, of course, the royal wedding, you had the jubilee, and now with the royal baby, fawning North Korean-style Kim Jong-il worship. If it's good enough for a, you know, a Stalinist dictatorship, then I guess it's good enough for Britain. But what's funny is that this Vladimir Zhirinovsky has come out, and he's known as a firebrand, but he said that this British monarch, who is set to become the king by the middle of the 21st century, will suck the blood of Russians. Calling Britain an enemy of Russia, the lawmaker said, quote, "That's why the birth of another British monarch who will suck our blood somewhere in the mid-21st century cannot bring us any kind of happiness." So it sounds like Mr. Zhirinovsky has seen InfoWars' exclusive footage of the birth of the royal baby. We scooped them all, of course, which we aired yesterday, and you can see on InfoWars.com. Amazing footage of the actual birth there. Quote of the day, "I have ways of making money that you know nothing of." Who said that? Well, it was, of course, John D. Rockefeller, who also said, "Competition is a sin." So that gives you an idea of some of those ways in which he made his money. Stick around on InfoWars Nightly News, because after the break, we're going to talk to activist Ashley Jessica about water fluoridation, what you can do to prevent it, and an upcoming protest that she's got organized in Toronto. Stay right there.
Now you can watch the InfoWars Nightly News streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
Johnny Appleseed was born during the Revolutionary War. He's not just a legend. And in more than 5 states, he introduced apples that had not even been grown in the colonies. Later, the seeds from plants he planted and cultivated and some of the varieties he developed spread across the United States. And it was Johnny Appleseed teaching the colonists and then the new Americans, after we won independence, the love of planting fruit trees that introduced that idea to North America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Become the Johnny Appleseed of your community with seeds from the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com.
I'm calling on you to go out into the green belts, to go out into the areas and plant secret gardens. No, not of marijuana, but of the hundreds and hundreds of incredible high-quality vegetables and herbs and fruit plants that are here. Lemons and oranges, the list goes on and on. They will grow plum trees, grape trees. They will grow almost everywhere in the U.S. We can literally, not just buying these products from InfoWarsStore.com, but from wherever you get them. This aggressive program literally just came to me one morning when I woke up about 4 a.m. realizing that we've got to counter their genetic war against us with original, real crops developed over eons on this planet. We have the lowest prices. We bought it in the biggest bulk that some of these companies have ever seen to ship this directly to you from the InfoWars Command Center. We stand for life. We stand for liberty. We stand for self-sufficiency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, click on the Seed Center, and as of taping this, we have the 7 top respected brands. We intend to continue to do research and find other companies, other specialties, other varieties to really take action.
The InfoWars Store Seed Center has the largest online selection of heirloom non-GMO seeds.
Check out these products from our newest supplier, Heirloom Organics.
The Medicine Garden for a natural remedy.
The Tea Garden that contains every important tea herb you can grow.
Fruit Lovers with 12 varieties.
And the Tobacco Pack, additive and pesticide free.
Join the gardening revolution today at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is a revolutionary action we're asking you to take. Plant seeds everywhere today. Nurture them, bring them to fruit, and pass on the knowledge to others. Become human again. Discover your roots in the soil. And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
We're back on InfoWars Nightly News, and joining us to talk about an upcoming protest against the fluoridation of our water supplies is activist and PhD student Ashley Jessica, who many of you will remember from last year's TSA opt-out and film protest. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Now, just to drill down into this quickly, for those who are new to the subject, give us an outline of what fluoride is and where people are most likely to encounter it in terms of food supply and water supply.
Well, the most commonly added type of fluoride is hydrofluorosilicic acid, and that is a chemical toxic waste byproduct of phosphate fertilizer production. So that basically, it accumulates in the smokestack scrubbers that are on top of phosphate fertilizer plants, and it is then dumped into the water supply, and it contains so many other toxic chemicals such as lead, arsenic, mercury, and radioactive substances. So that's where it comes from.
And it's in our water supply, and it's very nutritious. Right. In fact, I watched a video from 2011. It was a tanker spill in Texas, and the news media was saying, you know, they were all there in their hazmat suits cleaning up the hydrofluorosilicic acid as it melted through the concrete, and then calmly announcing, oh, by the way, this is what we put in your water. So given that we know what it is, that it causes all these horrible illnesses if people come in direct contact with it, tell us about the cancers and the other life-threatening goodies that have been linked with fluoride consumption.
Right. I mean, the reason the scrubbers were added onto the smokestacks is because when it was released into the atmosphere, it was causing adverse health effects and adverse environmental effects. It has been associated with an increased risk of bone cancer, thyroid dysfunction, kidney dysfunction, skeletal and dental fluorosis, endocrine dysfunction, arthritis, and so many other adverse health consequences.
And that's all in Harvard studies, peer-reviewed studies. You've read them all recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been reviewing the research quite a bit. There was a Harvard study that came out recently that found an inverse relationship between fluoride consumption and IQ. It was an analysis of 27 different studies relating consumption of artificially fluoridated water to IQ, and they found about a 7-point difference between communities that had high fluoride concentrations and low fluoride concentrations. And a study even came out in 2011, which found that even at low concentrations of fluoride, there are still negative consequences in terms of IQ. So even at low fluoride concentrations, it can still adversely affect IQ.
In fact, there was a new study I read yesterday by European researchers, and it detailed how IQ in Western nations over the last century has dropped by 14.1 points. And if you actually look at it, that's more likely to be nearer 30 points, because a separate study which came out today said that when they added iodine to salt about 80, 90 years ago, that boosted IQ by 15 points. So in fact, whereas we should have had a boost in IQ over the past 100 years, we've had a 14.1% decrease. And as you mentioned, these Harvard, these other studies are directly linking that with fluoride consumption. So it's not only the health effects, it's the IQ reduction that people are concerned about. In fact, there was a quote that I wanted to refer back to, which was, you know, they talk about, oh, fluoride, they're putting poison in the water supply. There's this whole Dr. Strangelove pejorative thing about crazy paranoid conspiracy theories. But U.S. Air Force Major George R. Jordan, who was a U.S. Soviet liaison officer in the 50s, said this, quote, using the fluoride in the water supplies in their concentration camps, he's talking about the Soviets, to make the prisoners stupid, docile, and subservient. So the Soviets admitted to doing it. The Nazis, if you read the crimes of IG Farben, admitted to doing it. And now it's in our water supply. So I guess, Ashley, if it's good enough for the Soviets and the Nazis, then it's good enough for America.
It's just insane that it's being added in. I mean, even at low concentrations, they found that a 1 milligram per liter increase in urinary fluoride, fluoride found in someone's urine, was associated with a 0.6 decrease in IQ. It's just insane to me that it's continued to be added into the water supply.
And it's cumulative, because we know it's not just in the water supply, it's in hundreds and hundreds of foods. It's cumulative. Right. It builds up over a lifetime. It's not as if you're going to have a drink of tap water and you keel over and die. It builds up gradually. But then we get the, you know, the flip side of the propaganda, which is this prevents tooth decay. In fact, if you look at the actual studies, there's no real evidence for that, is there?
No, a study came out in 2009 which found that there was no relationship between the amount of fluoride ingested and tooth decay. And the largest U.S. study published in the Journal of Dental Research found that there was a gain of 0.6 of the surface of a tooth for those drinking fluoridated water. And that was not a significant difference. So the research really does not support the notion that fluoride is good for your teeth when it's ingested.
And then the mere fact that fluoride has been in the United States water supply in the vast majority of major cities for 60 years. It hasn't in Europe, yet tooth decay in both Europe and the United States has declined equally. So that suggests it's got nothing to do with fluoride whatsoever. While on that subject, you've got 60% of the U.S. population drinking fluoridated water. Residents of 46 of the nation's 50 largest cities in America drink this. Yet 97% of the people living in Western Europe do not drink fluoridated water. Why do we see this huge discrepancy between the two continents?
Well, in Europe, many of the European countries have acknowledged the adverse health effects, and they're against forcefully medicating the water people via the water supply without their informed consent. When you add a medication into the water supply, you cannot control how much each person is getting. And everyone has a different physiology. People have different health concerns, and so they're going to react to it differently. So adding it to the water supply is wrong on so many levels, and the European countries have acknowledged that. And even in Canada, you know, we are stopping water fluoridation. So many cities have abandoned the practice. Windsor stopped adding it to the water, Calgary, Waterloo, and we're hoping that Toronto is going to be next.
And the amazing fact is U.S. citizens drink more artificially fluoridated water than the rest of the world combined. Now, we've seen victories. We've also seen complaints about the water supply being equated with terrorist threats in some areas of America. So whereas in Europe, we've seen generally a lot of success when citizens groups try to get fluoride out of the water, if it is in there. It's still quite rare in Europe. But in America, there's still a huge push to to keep it in the water supply. I mean, what do you think the agenda is? Is it just financial for financial reasons, or is there another agenda behind that?
It's really hard to say. It's hard to say if people genuinely believe all of the faulty research that's been parroted over the years, or if there is some kind of other agenda, or if it's financially motivated. The point is that the science is on our side. The scientific literature shows that it's very, very hazardous to health, that it does not improve our teeth, and that it needs to go.
So, I mean, what do we do about it? You're organizing this protest in September called Unfluoridate Me. Tell us when and where that's going to take place.
Yes, that's going to be taking place September 21st in Toronto. So if you are from Toronto, please join the Facebook page. It's called Unfluoridate Me. And go to our website, which is endfluoridetoronto.com. We have a petition up there. We're just trying to get as many signatures as possible, as much support for this as we can, so that we can get city council to put this issue back on the table, and that we can have the opportunity to present all of the research to them, and hopefully they will take it out of the water once they realize how hazardous it can be.
So is Toronto fluoridated at the moment then?
Yes, it is.
And Canada in general is much like the U.S., I imagine.
We're not as fluoridated as the U.S. I think we're at about 30%. Like I said, a lot of cities have abandoned the practice in recent years. So we're heading in the right direction. You know, when Dr. Paul Connick came to speak in Toronto, he said that if we can get fluoride out of the water in Toronto, this can be the catalyst for the rest of Canada. And then the U.S. will pretty much be alone with water fluoridation, and maybe then they can wake up and question, you know, why does the rest of the world not do this, and their teeth are still fine.
And of course, people in their own cities, we encourage to, you know, create their own protests around the same date and have marches in major cities in the U.S. as well. Give us that website once more in closing.
Yeah, that would be awesome if other people could join and create their own fluoride protest for that same day. The website is endfluoridetoronto.com. And if you want to get in touch with me at all about any of this, you can tweet at me at Ashley Jessica.
Okay, we'll definitely be revisiting this issue as the protest draws nearer. Ashley Jessica, thanks for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we hope everyone will go and support Ashley with the website endfluoridetoronto.com, that protest against fluoride coming up in September. Recapping our top headlines tonight on InfoWars Nightly News, Russia orders snap drill of missile forces. Again, the Russian military buildup continues as we're all distracted by the Zimmerman case and the royal baby. U.S. intel committees approve arming Syrian rebels. Top general warns of costs. They have the Joint Chiefs of Staff Dempsey warning that this is going to cost $1 billion a day, potentially, not to mention the lives on top of that. Then we had photos. Obama-backed Syrian rebels ransack Christian village. Again, shocking photos exclusive to Infowars.com underscore how your tax money is going to arm radical jihad extremists in Syria. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. And if you like what we're doing, then support us by becoming a PrisonPlanet.tv member. Of course, you'll get exclusive subscriber access to content before it goes up on YouTube, the daily video stream of the Alex Jones Show, which is exclusive to subscribers, speeches, special events, behind-the-scenes footage, and much more. The new Mind Control documentary, which is getting rave reviews, State of Mind, is also available in high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. And I'd invite you to buy the Blu-ray and the DVD of State of Mind, which is now available. So one subscription, again, can be shared with 11 people. You can give out the passcode to as many as 11 people. They can all log into the same account. So you save money. You support our media operation and spread the truth by becoming a subscriber at PrisonPlanet.tv. That's it for this edition of the show. We'll see you next time on InfoWars Nightly News.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.